If you would, stay in the book of Job. We're still in Job chapter 1 as we begin the lesson this evening. I'd like to begin, as we often do, by thanking those who have chosen to visit with us tonight. You should know that you're our honored guest. We are grateful to have you with us. And that is not something we say by routine or that it's just time to say that. We are really, truly thankful that you've chosen to be here with us. It is our sincere hope and prayer that as you are here with us during this time, that you are encouraged and edified by the things that have taken place here this evening and by the preaching of the Word of God. And that's what I will do at this point in time. We're looking at Job chapter 1. I'm thankful for Dan and his good reading for us. You know, it's interesting when you look at Job, most of us know the story, but there's a special part of Job that I think I failed to recognize the first several times reading through the book, and that is that the Lord saw fit to give us access to a place where no man can stand. There's an interesting thing taking place between the Lord and Satan. The devil is there. The sons of God are present. You and I were not there. And if we didn't have chapter 1 to see the conversation and chapter 2, Job would be an entirely different book to us. Because I know that the conversation is happening between the Lord and Satan, because the Lord speaks greatly of Job, that he's blameless, that he's a good man in every way. And Satan says, as Dan read for us, does he fear God for nothing? You've built a hedge around him. You've protected him. He's going through the motions. He'll turn his back on you. And there's a challenge that Satan's allowed to give to God from a man, about a man who is blameless. And so Satan, as we have seen and understood reading through this, was allowed to go and to strike Job. In verse 12, the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. And Satan is a monster. He attacks Job in such a cruel and terrible way. You look at the things that Satan did to Job to tear him down and to show Job there is no hedge around you. You're not protected. You better start doubting God immediately because your life is coming to an end. It is crashing around you. Job chapter 1 and verse 20. Then Job arose, tore his robe, and he shaved his head, and he fell on the ground, and he worshipped. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job did not sin, nor charge God with wrong. I don't know if there's any of us this evening who could stand up to what took place against Job, what Satan was allowed to do to him, the evil acts that were committed against him, and his reaction is astounding. He begins to worship God immediately after tearing his robe and shaving his head. He falls on the ground and worships God. Job makes a statement that I just want us to think about because we're going to step into the world again. Sometimes I like to use our Sunday evening lesson to get us ready to think about what we're going to be this week and who we serve. And to remember something very true about our lives. That we came into this world naked and we shall return there. This is the foundational point in which Job will move forward from here on out. The Lord hath given and the Lord hath taken away. It is His prerogative. I know my end. And so come what may, whether things are good or bad, naked I have come from my mother's womb, naked I shall return, naked I shall return to dust, naked I shall return to the Lord. This is something that he uses to move forward from this awful information that's been reported to him. I'm going to give you 3 points this evening to think about and to consider with me. I believe that if you look at this phrase, "and naked I shall return there," if I know this, I also know that it will help me in my spiritual understanding. Look at Psalm 49 with me. Psalm 49. And verse 16. Psalm 49, 16. Says, "Do not be afraid when one becomes rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dies, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though he lives, he blessed himself, for men will praise you when you do well for yourself. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. A man who is in honor, yet does not understand, is like the beasts that perish." There's a picture here of the same end, but this individual is different now from what we see in Job, at least in chapter 1, because he's benefiting greatly. He's accumulating wealth. He seems to be doing very well for himself. Do not be afraid when one becomes rich, because when he dies, in verse 17, he will carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Verse 20 is crucial for us, because naked he has come into the earth, and naked he shall return. A man who is in honor, yet does not understand, is like the beasts that perish. Understanding is crucial. Spiritual understanding, to know who God is and what He means for my life, changes everything about my perspective. The way that I live, the things that I say, everything is changed fundamentally because I know who my God is and I know how I got here. I know for a fact that I came into this world naked just as Job has, and I shall return in that way. The man who accumulates wealth and does well for himself, certainly he has done that. Many will praise him and glorify him for that. There's a reason maybe for me to be jealous, but we're both going to the same place. If he's gained all this wealth and he lacks understanding, the Lord our God himself equates him to the beasts of the field. That's pretty low for a human being to be compared to the beasts of the field. Why? Not because he was rich, not because he was poor. Because he has no understanding. He does not acknowledge and recognize God. And I want to submit to you tonight that Job did that very thing. He understood and he recognized God. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12 with me. We'll look in the book of Ecclesiastes a few times this evening if the Lord gives us time. Ecclesiastes 12 in verse 1, you all know as well as I do that I like to speak to our young people from time to time. And this is one for all of you. In case you're taking notes, little ones, it's Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. If you're young, the days of your youth are right now. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. The writer here will take us through a transition where you're supposed to remember God in the days of your youth, to honor God, to love Him, to have the same wisdom that Job had. He knew where he came from and he knew what his end was. But the writer now will carry us through this transition where this person becomes older and grows into the elderly years. Talks about the teeth, the grinders that they stop. The light that used to be bright, shining bright, is now dim. And you know when you recognize that you're losing these abilities and these faculties that you once had? Any of our young people know when you're starting to get older? The answer is no. Even if you gave me the right answer, the answer is no. You don't know. You know when these things start to happen, when your teeth start to go down to the gums and it's painful to do the simplest of things. When your vision starts to change on you, you can't see like you used to see. You have trouble driving. Then you look at Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1. It says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. When your eyes are as bright as they're ever going to be. When that shining light is twinkling off of your eyes, you have all the hope of the world in front of you. You are young. You have your life. You have your future to look forward to, and you know who your God is. Remember Him now. Do it now. Do not look back in regret and think about the days of your youth from the wrong side of life. Down in verse 6, remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanities. There is a conclusion here that fits perfectly with what we see with Job. The dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Remember, Job says that the Lord has given, the Lord has taken away. His perspective is so beautiful. And we must take hold of his thought process when we deal with the things that happen to us in our lives. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6 with me. We'll take note here of what the Apostle Paul is saying to Timothy, but certainly to all of us. Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's for all of us to think about and to consider as we look at the frailty of our lives. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 3. The Apostle Paul has given Timothy much instruction, and he wants him to hold fast to it. 1 Timothy 6 and 3 says, "If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourself." There is a type of person here that is shown to us. First of all, he's proud and he knows nothing. That is not a good start. I think about the man who lacked understanding in Psalm 49. He will die just as all the rest will. He is just like the beasts of the field. He had a life, he had a good life, and he missed it all. These men are caught up in envy and strife and reviling and evil suspicions. They're all caught up and tangled up in this wickedness and this evil. They are destitute of the truth. They believe that godliness is a means of gain. We need to be able to spot these people and withdraw ourselves from them. They are not profitable to us in our lives because we have spiritual understanding. We can discern these things. Verse 6, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain." Paul will say the same thing that Job said. "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content." What a beautiful passage for us to read tonight and to think about. Think about your beginning. We came into this world, we brought nothing into this world. Is that true or not? What did you come into the world with? Were you able to bring anything into the world as you stepped on the scene of life? All of us, our answer is the same. We came in with nothing. Most of us, being born in hospitals, were immediately given blankets. We were washed and cleaned off and treated. We were checked thoroughly by adults, and then we were clothed. We were put, sometimes, some of us were put under an incubator to keep us warm and to keep everything moving as it should, and we were cared for in a beautiful way. But we didn't have anything when we got here. Remember, the end is the same. It's the same. What are we going to do with that information? Godliness with contentment is great gain. Why? Because that person has spiritual understanding. And when tough times come, and they will, we can say the things that we've read tonight, the scriptures that we've read together. We need to know them. They need to be on our hearts, and we need to be able to say them. And you know what? Let me just say something to you, and very honestly, that when trouble comes and it rains down on your life and you are dismayed and confused and you are scared about what's going to happen tomorrow, when you read the words that Job said, "Naked I came into this world, and naked I shall return there," that it will be with trembling lips and tears in your eyes. Because trouble is very real. But this statement is eternally true. It is from God, and Job believed in it with all of his heart. We cannot miss that point. We brought nothing into this world. We shall take nothing out. The other thing I see is that knowing this, that naked I shall return there, it also helps me in times of anxiety or worry. Let's go back to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. And we'll see here that worry, being bent out of shape about many things in this life, is just of no value. Again, we're going to see this man who has increased in goods. He has much to show for his life. He has an accumulation of wealth. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 12 says, "The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eats little or much. But the abundance of the rich will not permit him to sleep." He's already worried and nervous about this. And he has the abundance of riches. Verse 13, "There is a severe evil which I have seen under the sun. Riches kept for their owner to his hurt. But those riches perish through misfortune. When he begets a son, there is nothing in his hand." So when the son is born, how much did he bring? Nothing. There's nothing in his hand. Guess who's going to have to provide for him? The guy who's been stacking up the money. "There is nothing in his hand. As he came from his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came. And he shall take nothing from his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. And this also is a severe evil. Just exactly as he came, so shall he go. And what profit has he who has labored for the wind? All his days he also eats in darkness, and he has much sorrow and sickness and anger. This man is without understanding. All of his days he eats in darkness. Verse 18, here is what I have seen. It is good and fitting for one to eat and drink and to enjoy the good of all of his labor in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life, which God gives him, for it is his heritage. Remember, the Lord hath given, the Lord hath taken away. God has given this to him. As for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth and given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage and rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. For he will not dwell unduly on the days of his life, because God keeps him busy with the joy of his heart. God's purpose is to keep him busy doing these things, to fill his life with activities and the things that he should be doing. He will not dwell unduly or an overemphasis. He will not overemphasize his thoughts on the days of his life, because God has kept him busy with the joy of his heart. We see the same picture in all these passages we've read, that naked we've come into the earth, naked we shall return there. Let's go back to the book of Job. Job chapter 2. Job has worshiped God upon hearing the news of the loss of all of his children, all of his cattle. Everything that he owns has now been utterly destroyed by Satan. And now Satan is allowed to touch his person and covers him in boils from head to toe. This is Satan, one who so many gladly serve. He hates those who are faithful to God. And he would love to cover you from head to toe with boils on your skin so that there was no relief from your pain. I know that because that's what he did to Job. Job chapter 2 and verse 7, Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he, that is Job, took for himself a potsherd with which to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of the ashes. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity?" Can you imagine being Job's wife and looking at him in the most pathetic position he's ever been in and say, "Just let your soul go. Curse God, cry out to God and die. Why do you prolong this?" And he says, "Don't speak foolishly. Do not speak foolishly. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity?" In all of this, Job did not sin with his lips. What a beautiful picture again of Job and what he means to us. Naked shall I return there. Let's go back to your birth, the day that you were born. Many of us know the city where we were born. Many of us are probably familiar with the name of the hospital that we were born in and could actually go back to that place if we wanted to. Think about the day that you were born and what you brought into this world. Because knowing what Job said is going to help me to keep from worrying. It absolutely will. Think about the day you were born. What were you worried about? Which one of you was born and on that day you were already chewing your fingernails and worried about what was going to happen next? I want you to think about it because it means so much. You did not worry. You were clueless. You could have been born into a field. You could have been born in a hospital, as I mentioned before. You could have been born in a tumultuous situation, and you still didn't worry. What's wrong with you? Get it together. Everybody else around you is worrying. What, don't you know what's happening here? I was born today. No, I don't. Congratulations, little one. You are not worried. And look at each one of us. We're here tonight. We made it. How do we make it? Who took care of us? Well, there were people around us, certainly, who were involved in that. But God. God brought you here. You're alive and cared for because of Him. These are the foundations that we can stand on when trouble comes. Just remember the day you were born and how many things you were worried about and how you had trouble sleeping that night. because you didn't know where your next meal was going to come from. It didn't happen. We've got to remember that because it's part of the message that we see in the statement that Job makes for all of us. Knowing this, that naked shall I return there, will absolutely help me when I must endure. We've already looked at some of that considering Job, but look at Job chapter 42. Go all the way to the end of the book, and we'll look here at the very end of Job chapter 42 and verse 1. The Lord in chapter 41, and even back into 40, the Lord is speaking to Job and challenges Job. He says, stand up and defend yourself like a man, and you answer me, Job. And God speaks to him in a very firm way. In chapter 42, we'll see Job responding now for the first time to God. Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Job knows his condition when he was born. He knows the way that he will pass from this life. And he says, you know, I've heard about you, God, but now I've seen you with my own eyes and I abhor myself. Not many of us are willing to do that about ourselves. Most of us, and it's just typical of us, it's typical of our nature to think that we're a pretty big deal. That we wonder why God's not or why He is doing certain things. And that if I could speak to the Lord, if I could ask Him a few questions, if I could give Him a piece of my mind. Job had an opportunity to do that. And he said, when I saw you, I abhorred myself. Who was Job before this? Was he a wicked man going about and doing all the things that were evil? Everything that he could find under the sun that the Lord prohibited him from doing? No, he was an upright and blameless man. And yet in the presence of God, he says, I abhorred myself. I wanted nothing to do with me because I saw you. And knowing you brought me to this place in my mind and in my heart. I repent in dust and ashes. We must remember who we are, that we came into this world naked, and we shall certainly return there, and we know who our God is. And if we know these things, that we will endure. Job endured, and he had an opportunity to speak to the Lord. You know, James mentions Job in the book of James. We'll read that together. Because James wants to make a spiritual point for New Testament Christians by the Holy Spirit as it has inspired James to speak. He wants us to endure. What Bible character will James use to help us to see? James chapter 5 and verse 7, therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. For you also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. James points out Job for us to see. We notice in verse 11, he says, you have heard of the perseverance of Job, and you, this is us, we have seen the end, his end, and as it was intended by the Lord. Job did not know that, nor did he see it. Job started with a basic quote, naked shall I return there. Naked I came into this earth, and naked shall I return there. That's what Job started with. And yet he was able, with this understanding, knowing this, he was able to endure and to wait upon the Lord in far greater pain and misery than what most of us will ever experience. And so we must be encouraged. James, by inspiration, brings Job back to our remembrance to say, be patient, brethren, and endure. Persevere. Be strong. Hold on to God. He is your Creator. He cares for you. If you can't remember whether or not that's true, remember the day of your birth. I've added that. But if you're having trouble remembering if God's going to take care of you, go back to the day of your birth. That everything was in place, even though you didn't know how to worry, to bring you to the point where you are now. Our God is an awesome God, and we must cling to His will, to His word, and to Him and to Him alone. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll use this for our final reading this evening. 2 Timothy chapter 2, talking about enduring the instruction that we have as New Testament Christians. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 3, Paul tells Timothy, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." If I want to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ and stand fast in His word, I must therefore endure hardship. It is part of being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, "Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things." That was another one of our points, wasn't it? One of them is that we must endure. Another is that we would have spiritual understanding. This phrase alone gives us understanding that there is a God. He is there. He is alive. And He is caring for us. Verse 10, "Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying. For if we died with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we endure, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we are faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself." 2 Timothy 2 and verse 3, "Be a good soldier," that tells me don't worry. If I'm worried and I'm chewing on my fingernails and drinking Maalox, I am not settled in my life and in my heart to prepare to serve God and to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Don't worry. Be a good soldier. Verse 7, "Have spiritual understanding. May the Lord give you understanding in all things." Verses 10 through 13, "You must endure. If we endure, He shall also reign with Him. We shall also reign with Him if we endure." I want to offer an invitation to those who are here this evening. I don't know the condition or the place where all of you are tonight. But God has given to us, as He tarries, an opportunity to make sure before we leave this place that our heart and our life is right with Him. Remember how you got here and remember how you're leaving. Cling to God. Hold to God's unchanging hand. He is all that matters. In Hebrews 11 and verse 6, it says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." Are you seeking God? Are you looking for the Lord? Let us help you in any way that we can. If you need to come forward and make that need known, do that now while together we stand and sing.